about our hope not being enamored in Jesus Christ, about ending in prayer but moving to action. And it's about the gospel of the kingdom. By the way, a gospel always of hope. And in fact, I actually read a quote earlier today that, at least I think, kind of sums up how to properly evaluate and look at the times that we're in. This comes from Western Rifle Shooters, and I want you all to really pay attention to this, because this is from Admiral James Stockdale. This is a very important lesson. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of the current reality, whatever they may be. So we bring hope to you here on Patriot Radio, but we also confront the brutal reality that we live in right now today, and the fact that it's actually an honor to be alive in this time, and always remembering Zechariah 2:5, but I declare as the Lord will be a wall of fire to her on all sides, and I will be the glory in her midst. Today, as we look around the world, the media is intentionally trying to demoralize us. And we're going to talk about that during the brief in just a few seconds. And then we're going to get into what's happening around the world so that we don't get lost in the middle of it. But more importantly, it gives us a way of view that we can pass on to others so that they don't just shut down when you start talking to them. So let's start first with the overview of what is happening and what's actually been happening in the United States since the 1960s. So in the 1960s, the Soviet Union, after they had infiltrated the United States government, and again, I'm going to go through these books if you want to take notes again. After they infiltrated the United States government, 329 confirmed Soviet agents in the Roosevelt administration, the birth of the deep state. Now, the birth of the establishment Republicans was under Eisenhower, which may challenge some of you, but that's where it started. So the Matryoshkin archives documents this infiltration of the government. Then you had a witness, Bella Dodd, who testified before Congress that she really, there were other witnesses, but she was the main witness about the infiltration of the Soviets into the Catholic Church, but also that later that they would be infiltrating the whole church in America. And her testimony, if you just type in Bella Dodd, you will find reams of information on that and what she testified to. Then you had the confirmation that KGB agents infiltrated to the highest levels of the United States government, to the advisors to the president of the United States, and actually were part of the reason that Europe was divided in two, and Eastern Europe essentially put under horrendous slavery for the next 80 years. And still, to this day, actually, fighting that same slavery. We're not going to get into that in the show today. That was in the Venona transcripts. And Joe McCarthy, Senator Joe McCarthy, who has been much maligned, actually had access to the Venona transcripts, which is why he was so confident in what he was talking about. So the Venona transcripts were broken Soviet cables, clearly delineating who were the agents inside the United States government. And by the way, one of them, Alger Hiss, high-level advisor. I mean, you had a Soviet agent become the honorary first secretary general of the United Nations, for goodness sakes. People don't talk about that history today. Then you also had the systematic attempt of the Soviets to kill, assassinate anyone who they felt was going to uncover what they were actually doing. I mean, you can read about this in a book called Special Tasks by Pavel Sudoplatov, who was the chief assassin for Joseph Stalin. And then lastly, before we get to the videos, you have General Mihai Pachipa, the highest ranking KGB general to defect to the United States of America. And General Pachipa quickly and very succinctly outlined in his book, Disinformation, the war against America, and that part of this demoralization had already succeeded in America. Now, Yuri Bezmenov, aka Thomas Schumann, probably one of the more important defectors to the United States, outlined the four stages of this attempt to take over a country. So let's listen to his overview of how this begins.
The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only...
So there are four stages. Demoralization, destabilization, crisis and collapse, and then the last stage is normalization. And normalization is a euphemism. It is a cynical term. Things are normalized now, when really that just means that that's the new truth, as it were, in the dialectic, the new thing you just have to put up with and have to live with. All right, so let's start with the overview. Go ahead, Travis.
The Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion. What do they mean by it?
All you have to do, all American mass media has to do, is to unplug their bananas from their ears, open up their eyes, and they can see it. There's no mystery. There's nothing to do with espionage. But in reality, the main emphasis of the KGB is not in the area of intelligence at all. According to my opinion, and opinion of many defectors of my caliber, only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process, which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The result you can see, most of the people who graduated in the 60s, dropouts or half-baked intellectuals, are now occupying the positions of power in the government, civil service, business, mass media, educational system. They are programmed to think and react to certain stimuli in a certain pattern. You cannot change their mind, even if you expose them to authentic information. You need another 20 or 15 years to educate a new generation of patriotically minded and common sense people who would be acting in favor and in the interests of the United States society.
And yet these people who've been programmed and, as you say, in place, and yes, who are favorable to an opening with the Soviet concept, mm-hmm, these are the very people who would be marked for extermination in this country?
Most of them, yes. Mm-hmm. Simply because the psychological shock when they will see in future what the beautiful society of equality and social justice means in practice, obviously they will revolt. They will be very unhappy, frustrated people. And the Marxist-Leninist regime does not tolerate these people.
What he's talking about there is the Obama and the Biden regimes. These are the people from the 1960s who are now in the places of power. He's also talking about the fact that it is a Soviet practice, a communist practice, to eliminate those that bring them to power. And so the first wave, the brown shirts, as we saw with the National Socialist Movement in Germany, the brown shirts are expendable, but it's the black shirts that come after them that are the real ruling class. And so a lot of these people don't even realize this is part of the Democrat Party, the Democrat Socialists of America, and the other proxy organizations here in the United States. They have no clue that they're actually marked, as Yuri Bezmenov said, by their own people, to be eliminated and removed when the time comes. And so again, a very fascinating historical analysis from one of the most important defectors from the former Soviet Union. He was a member of Izvestia, which is the disinformation arm of the KGB. Now, I want to take it to another very important defector. He was a strategic planner for the KGB, Anatoly Golitsyn, who wrote Perestroika, Deception, and also New Lies for Old. And in those two books, he lays out the deception in the future that there would be a fake fall of the Soviet Union. It would look like the Warsaw Pact nations disbanded, and that some later date there would be a resurgence of the Russian Empire, and that they would attempt to reconstitute the former Soviet Union. And we're actually seeing that today. Now, out of 148 predictions, 139 have come true. So we have to take Anatoly Golitsyn not just seriously, but as a primary source of what the neo-Soviet or the Russian nationalist strategy really is, and understand that the KGB has always been in control, even after this so-called fall. Now, back here in the United States, a strategic planner for the National Security Council by the name of Rich Higgins. And Travis is going to put a link to this memorandum, one of the most important memorandums written here in the United States in the last 10 years. He wrote this in 2017. He gave it to President Donald Trump. As a member of the National Security Council's planning staff, he gave this memorandum, made sure he got it into Trump's hand. He didn't personally give it to him, but he got it into Trump's hands. And here is what he briefed the president on regarding all of the attacks that were coming against Trump at that time. Quote, attacks on President Trump are not just about destroying him, but also about destroying the vision of America that led to his election. In other words, a vision of freedom and liberty. Continues, those individuals and groups seeking the destruction of President Trump actually seek to suffocate the vision of America that made him president. Hence, the end state is not just a delegitimized, destabilized. Notice he's using some of the same words as Bezmenov. Immobilized and possibly destroyed presidency, but also a demoralized movement composed of a large enough bloc to elect a president that subsequently becomes self-aware of its own disenfranchisement. In other words, inability through the vote to affect the outcome. This was written in 2017. Rich Higgins has since passed on. We actually had him here on Patriot Radio back when he was still alive. And this demoralization, it's critical to understand it. And our guest today, Justin Barclay, is going to be talking about this issue of how the media is intentionally trying to demoralize you. And the more you listen to it, the more you open yourself up to being demoralized. When in fact, there's a lot of cause for hope today. And this goes for folks inside the church who shouldn't get demoralized, because Jesus Christ is our hope. And we always, at every point in time, at every moment, should be ready to defend, expound on, testify to the hope that is inside of us. So this brings me to the next part of this demoralization. There's just a brief overview I want to play now, and then we're gonna play some clips later with the guests. But there's a brief overview of demoralization that Yuri Bezmenov kind of puts forward. So let's go ahead and roll that clip.
The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's over fulfilled, because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. But not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization.
And that's where we're at in America today, where we have shown people the facts. We've given them the primary source documents, and yet, they won't even listen. Which brings us now to your daily intelligence brief. And it's, again, very important to see this through that lens, okay? What's going on in the world? there is actually a lot of evil being exposed, and we have a lot of hope now that people are waking up to a point to effect change, and transformation is actually the better word. All right, we're going to go first to Ukraine, and there's this Kokova Dam that was blown in southern Ukraine. Obviously, both sides suffering from this. A lot of Russian mill bloggers have all but admitted that it was Russia that did this. And you have on the other side of the coin people that are saying, no, it was Ukraine. It doesn't seem to make sense that Ukraine would blow up their own dam, especially since the Russians were the ones that controlled it. And it does appear like the explosion came from inside, again, based on objective analysis of the video. And I have that actually posted on Twitter, the raw video of the explosion. It does look like it's coming from the inside out because you do not see any sort of a missile flash coming down or a rocket coming down. We can see it here if you're watching online. You see normally some brief streak right before an explosion like that, especially if it's a rocket, which is a lot slower moving than a missile. But here you see coming from the inside out and upward. It does not really appear that way. Also, early in the war, the Russians had rigged the dam to explode, and that was previously put out. So regardless, this marks quite a turning point in the war. And again, I think the message has been convoluted on the quote-unquote right, that somehow we need to be like apologizing for Putin or somehow saying good things about Vladimir Putin. He's a KGB man. In 2014, again, I had this on, you can go back to the old episodes of Patriot Radio, eyewitness accounts of how the Russians were shutting down Protestant churches in eastern Ukraine and saying that only the Orthodox Church could be there. We know from, again, the list of books that I just gave you that most, if not every single leader inside the Russian Orthodox Church was and is a KGB agent. And so therefore, it is not really a church. It's just an arm of their intelligence community. And that has been that way since 1963, when the church split between the state church and the confessing church in the former Soviet Union. You can talk to people from the underground churches, and they remember those names. They remember those times. And it wasn't just in the Orthodox Church, because the KGB also tried to corrupt the Protestant church. But these are all facts, indisputable, irrefutable facts. So we have to be objective in how we look at this. And so this narrative on the right of somehow saying, you know, Putin is great, or then on the left, you know, Zelensky is great. Really, what we should be doing is we should be promoting a narrative that Christians who love freedom all over the world, regardless of what country you're in, should band together right now, should unite together right now. Unity in the Holy Spirit, and come against the globalists, the communists, and the jihadis that are trying to destroy not only the United States, they're trying to destroy the world and impose a one world government. And that's their stated intent. We should be coming together. That should be our narrative. It doesn't matter if those Christians who love freedom are in Ukraine. It doesn't matter if those Christians who love freedom are in Taiwan. We should be uniting with them. We should be supporting them. We should be ministering to them. We should be emboldening them. And we need to do this in unity. And I think that that's the better narrative than trying to say Russia, Ukraine. Let's go for what we know, that is even bigger than Christians who love freedom, that all people who love freedom throughout the world can ultimately unite against these forces. And that's the awakening, I believe, that we're seeing right now. Which brings us next to Taiwan. So there are a couple of articles here. One of them is from Center for Security Policy, but I'm going to go to Open Source Intelligence first. Taiwan activated its air defense systems today as an unusually large contingent of 37 Chinese military aircraft flew into its air defense identification zone. Then you also have an article out that just, like it just came out, I think, earlier today. Center for Security Policy, China forcing U.S. and allies out, preparing for blockade of Taiwan. So that article really lays out the case that China is on a near term of blockading Taiwan from Grant Newsom. This just, again, tells us evil is being exposed, the enemy's plans are being exposed, and the question is always going to come back to, what are we going to do about it? That brings us next to the Middle East, to Iran. U.S. to Iran. Stop high-grade uranium enrichment and win $20 million of frozen assets. Do we really believe that we can, like, give Iran money and they're going to be like, oh, yes, sure, we're going to go and stop. They're going to turn around and use that money against us. Just like they have with the other money that was given to them under Obama. Absolutely incredible. So you have to ask yourself, these are Yale graduates, Harvard graduates. They can't be dumb. So why are they intentionally giving our enemies money? Next on the national front. Coming to us from Curtis Houck. Travis, if it's possible to play this video, if not, I'm going to read it. So, Congresswoman Nancy Mace says there's damning evidence in the FBI file that you sold out the country. Do you have a response to the congressional Republicans? Now, this is Biden being asked this question. And here's his response. Where's the money? Oh, I'm joking. It's a bunch of malarkey. Yeah. Or maybe it isn't. Or maybe the evil's being exposed. And finally, somebody at the highest levels who has sold out this country will be held accountable. Sold out this country to China. Sold out this country to Russia. Sold out this country to the globalists. Sold out this country to some of the jihadist regimes around the world. Or specifically the Muslim Brotherhood. Maybe they'll be held accountable. That brings us next to Epoch Times. Trump announces 2024 proposal to investigate rising autism rates. You want to talk about good news out there? Trump is finally recognizing some things here and listening to some of the right people. Quote, former President Donald Trump released a campaign video in which he vows to investigate the rising rates of autism and other chronic illnesses across the United States if he's elected in 2024. And specifically, he talks about a, quote, stunning rise in autism, autoimmune disorders, obesity, infertility, serious allergies, and respiratory challenges, end quote. This is interesting because he then brings up medications and environmental factors and our food. So the vaccines potentially in the meat supply, maybe that gets investigated. Who knows? That brings us next to the Western Journal. CNN's new leadership, if you didn't hear, their old leadership was ousted. Their new leadership is announced, and oh, look at this. One is married to a current Biden appointee with deep Clinton ties. This is going to make for many, many future Patriot Radio shows, I'm sure. So we just thank you guys for that. And then last but not least, we're going to jump back out to the international front. Gateway Pundit, Twitter mass deletes videos of Syrian asylum seeker who stabbed children in France. So this clearly looks like a jihadi attack in France. Some of these people were saying that he was yelling it out in as a Christian and wearing a Christian cross. And he described himself as a Christian from Syria. And yet he was acting like a jihadist in the execution and the stabbing of these poor kids. So either way, it should never be mass deleted, and we actually should be analyzing these kind of things, because as we predicted back here 3 months ago, there would be false flags coming up where they would try to make Christians look like the bad guys. And that brings us to the regional front. Listen carefully. I have a special announcement, and actually two special announcements. First, July 28th, Olympia, Washington, at the Capitol. The Kingdom to Capitol tour with Sean Foyt is coming. We are expecting well over 20,000 people there. Please tell everyone you know and come help stand in one of the darkest places on the earth for Jesus Christ. We're going. July 28th, Sean Foyt, Kingdom to the Capitol Tour. For more information, you can visit the SpokaneOnFire.church website, or you can visit the Kingdom to Capitol website, which we will post up here under the show. All right. Also, and this is even better than that almost, coming up June 21st, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, right here at On Fire Ministries, 115 East Pacific, Sean Foyt is coming, and we are going to have a worship night, and he's going to give a very inspiring message about this being the time to stand for Jesus Christ and be a light to the world, not just this country. So please join us here, On Fire Ministries, 6 o'clock, June 21st. It's a Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Sean Foyt is going to be here, and I look forward to seeing you all and invite everybody that you know. We are going to have some overflow seating as well, as we expect it to be packed out. All right. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And remember to go Amazon, Spotify, Podbean, iTunes, everywhere. Like it, share it. But please make sure you share it, because a lot of people are not getting the information and don't presume that they are. And also remember that it is in unity that we need to do this. And Travis, if you could go back to Twitter real quick, and we're going to pull this up. So the Satanists said they're going to show up in Olympia on July 28th. Here's the thing. We all need to get past the calling each other names and lying about each other inside. Even the church, I see it. And unite against the evil that is in this world in the unity of Holy Spirit. So the Satanists think they're going to show up on July 28th. Another reason to be there in force as Christians bringing light into the darkness. And that, I think, is what God has really called us all to do in this time. Stand. Bring the light. Not part of the light, not a compromised version of it, but bring the light. And are we ready now, Travis? Awesome. So are we ready? Okay. So what I'm going to do next then, while we're waiting on the guest to call in, and sometimes we have this with live radio, and it's okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through another clip from Yuri Bezmenov.
He's on.
Okay, fantastic. I'm going to go through another clip from Yuri Bezmenov as we start this. But let me introduce our guest first, Justin Barclay. He's one of the best radio personalities in the United States of America, having received multiple awards for broadcast excellence. He's a regular guest host for Glenn Beck, and he is the author of Good News, Hope and Encouragement for Trying Times. Justin, it's great to finally have you on Patriot Radio. We've been looking forward to doing this for a while. Looks like I'm not getting any audio, so. All right, so I'm going to go to this next part of this before we get Justin on. I'm not sure what happened just now. So I'm going to talk quickly. You want to take notes on this, because I was going to talk about this through the show too, but this is kind of the addition from last week. So, four stages of subversion of a country, Yuri Bezmenov: demoralization, destabilization, crisis, collapse, and explosion. In other words, very short period of time in which you see radical change. And then normalization. So normalization can be an indefinite stage where that just becomes, and you've heard this before, the new normal. This is the new thing you just have to put up with, the new thing you just have to expect. We heard this actually through COVID quite a bit. Well, then you have the five stages of collapse from Dmitry Orlov in what he wrote called a survivor's toolkit. The first stage is financial collapse. Then you have commercial collapse, political collapse, social collapse, and cultural collapse. Now, financial collapse is the idea that faith in business as usual is lost. The commercial collapse is the idea that faith that the market shall provide is lost. Stage three, political collapse: faith that government will take care of you is lost. Stage four social collapse, faith that your people will take care of you is lost. And we're kind of in this stage right now in America. And then the final stage, cultural collapse, faith in the goodness of humanity is lost. This is what you see in places like Haiti right now, where you have warlords that are running. There is no real governmental structure. Gangs are forming. And people have just lost all faith in any kind of humanity down there. So this all dovetails into two big historical things. The first is The Cycles of Empires by Sir John Bagot Glubb, G-L-U-B-B, Sir John Bagot Glubb. It's called The Fate of Empires, but he talks about the cycle of empires. And his main thesis is that that empires last about 250 years. So for the United States, that would be from the Declaration of Independence in 1776 to, you guessed it, 2026. So it's coming very soon. That the cycle of an empire is 250 years or 10 generations of 25 years each. Then you also have the generations of human beings, generations of people. This is probably best laid out in the book, The Fourth Turning by William Strauss and Neil Howe. The four turnings are four generations. And again, you have about 80 years for each generation in that case. Well, what's interesting about that is that the 80 years and then the 250 years are coming, the cycle is coming to an end right about 2025 to 2030. So right in the same window, you have a turning of the human generations, but you also have the cycle of empires coinciding. Now, that's kind of the umbrella, that's the overview. Then you have these ideological subversion that we just talked about. Then you have the five stages of collapse, kind of see where we're at on that timeline. And then you have the five factors of civil war. One of them, the first one, is polarization without resolution. The second is divisive press coverage. The third is weakened institutions. The fourth is the sellout of leadership, Mike Pence. The fifth is the legitimization of violence. So we are in the fifth part right here. Polarization without resolution has already happened. Divisive press coverage, weakened institutions. Leadership is sold out, particularly the Republican Party. And what's fascinating about that is Rich Higgins, once again going back to that memorandum in 2017, specifically said that the Republican Party establishment is the designated defeat mechanism. In other words, the designated sellouts to usher in the new regime. So the number five is, and what we are seeing already, is legitimization of violence. So what's the hope? Where's the hope in that? Well, anytime that you begin to have violence and you have it on video, like Antifa attacking people outside of school board meetings, Antifa rioting in Seattle, burning cities down. Anytime that you have that and people begin to wake up, they see that violence and they're like, hey, I don't want that. They have a choice to make. Do we choose to come to the side of righteousness and truth and preserve the republic here in America? Or do we choose a different road? Totally different road. And the hope here is that there is no middle ground anymore as far as a fence to sit on. People are going to have to choose. So I'm not using middle ground in a negative way. I'm using middle ground in at least in a positive way. There is no longer a fence to sit on. There is no longer middle ground to sit on. People are going to have to choose a side. The Lord in righteousness or something far darker and far worse. So these factors are how we can analyze everything that's going on currently in the media and in even in the halls of government. A lot of people get very frustrated with the Republicans never seeming to really do anything or not being really vigilant. So I'm going to give an example of that here in Washington State that I just found out about. So back in 1878, Washington State actually ratified a first constitution. That first constitution in Article 5, Section 23 talked about allodial title. In other words, you had title that could never be taken by anybody else. And in fact, in many ways, foreclosed the idea completely of even having property taxes. Because if you have property taxes, that kind of implies that you could lose your property. So 1878, property rights were solidified. Well, 1889 came around, they ratified a second constitution, and lo and behold, it did away with Tidal and Elodium like that. Now, what happened after that was, in the early 19-teens, there was a compromise with what's called the Torrens Act. Here in Washington State, you could put your property in a registry, and it effectively prevented adverse possession and also effectively prevented liens against your property that you wouldn't know about. Okay, last year, I just found out, last year they repealed the Torrens Act. Now, we had blocked it when I was in the legislature, and I'm not saying that anybody did anything wrong. I'm just saying what happened. We blocked it when I was in the legislature, and then all of a sudden it's been repealed last year. This is one example of Republicans not being vigilant or diligent in defending things when they should at the national level or at the state level. Now, again, we're not blaming anybody. It's just the facts. That should not have happened. It should not have happened. Everybody out there should have known about this, that there was an erosion, a massive erosion of property rights, and particularly the Torrens Act was protective of rural property like agriculture and timber. So this was aimed at rural Washington, and it should have been brought out. Well, the fact that it wasn't brought out, again, we have property rights that are eroding in this country. So what do we do? How do we approach this? Are we just supposed to sit back and let it happen? Or perhaps we need to start showing up at everything and being a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Now, I'm going to next shift to something that I saw on Twitter that I want to share with everybody right now. We have a lot of things, you know, happening in the Middle East, but you always notice that as you read this stuff, it's really these coalitions that are forming are all around an anti-Christian bent, whether it's the Satanists trying to come on July 28th or whether it's the jihadi governments in Middle Eastern countries all of a sudden aligning with China, communists who also hate Christians, all coming together. So this brings me back to the point that I made earlier that we really need to, on the so-called right, I don't really believe in the right-left paradigm. I think that's intellectually lazy. But what I do believe in is that the narrative should be very clear to all of us that we need to unite with people who love freedom all over the world, Christian or not Christian. But we should also unite with Christians around the world in the unity of the Holy Spirit, Christians who love freedom, to throw off this yoke of the globalists, the jihadis, and the communists that are trying to institute a one-world government, one-world economy, and one-world religion. That should be everywhere we talk about this. That's what it should be. That's how it should work. Because you end up with situations where people who are convicted of corruption receive very little jail time, or people who are convicted of horrendous things like rape are receiving very little jail time. And yet people who show up to the Capitol on January 6th, who assemble together peacefully for a redress of their grievances, and the evidence in court shows they were peaceful, like John Strand, a man who's actually been to the ministry here in Spokane with Dr. Simone Gold. A man like that who's given nearly 3 years in prison because he criticized the United States government. In other words, they didn't like what you said, so they went ahead and criticized it anyway. So with that said, I want to go ahead and roll this next clip on demoralization. Yuri Bezmenov, he's so clear about this stuff. But I want you to think of demoralization as not just like becoming demoralized. I want you to think about it also as taking the morals out of a society as well. Go ahead and roll the clip.
The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation. What matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic.
So what he's talking about there is that the destabilization part of the country, as a result of demoralization, runs into a place where it can be very quickly destabilized, and the subverters, even themselves, don't realize exactly what they're doing. So destabilization, 2 to 5 years, well, does that sound about the length of a United States presidency, like the presidency of, oh, I don't know, Barack Obama or Joe Biden? I personally believe that their intent was to begin the destabilization in 2016, but Trump won, and they had to be delayed 4 years. And now we're here. Again, destabilizing before a world war, so that they can use that world war as a pretext to institute these control mechanisms of a one world government, one world economy, one world religion. So, in this time, again, what's the antidote to destabilization? Well, peace is the antidote. The peace of who? The peace of Christ. What's the antidote to demoralization? Well, moralization is the antidote. Standing true to our morals and having our hope in Jesus Christ and bringing that hope not only to people all over the United States, but bringing that hope to everywhere in the world. So what does that look like to bring hope to people? Well, instead of seeing every single situation as oh no, doom and gloom, I can't, there's nothing I can do. And that's really the crux of the issue. That's the deception in the issue that has been foisted on us. The media wants you to think there is nothing you can do, when in fact, you can start at the local level. Take over your school board. Start a Christian school in your church. Spread and share the truth on the networks across the United States. There is always something you can do. All right, looks like we finally have Justin Barclay on. He's one of the best radio personalities in the United States, having received multiple awards for broadcast excellence. He's a regular guest host for Glenn Beck, author of the book Good News, Hope and Encouragement for Trying Times. Justin, great to finally have you on Patriot Radio. I've been waiting for this moment for a while. Thank you for joining us.
We have a problem.
All right. Looks like still having a problem there. All right. Well, we're just going to go ahead and keep working through it. Sometimes that happens on live radio. It makes for the best, because then it's raw. It's real. So what can we be doing here at the local level? Well, let's just talk about, I don't know, school districts, for example, like Central Valley School District. What are those teachers actually teaching in the classroom? Are they teaching anti-Christian sentiments? Yes. Yes, they are. And I hope that some of the administrators in Central Valley that hear me say this know that I don't bluff. But one of your teachers specifically is teaching anti-Christian viewpoints, and quite candidly, viewpoints that are espoused by radical Marxist organizations such as Stronger Together. So we can all agree, I hope, that the Constitution is worth preserving and defending. And if that's the case, what can you do? Support the good candidates for Central Valley School Board. That's what you can do. You can go down to the school board and make your voice heard. Make them held accountable for what's being taught in the classroom that denigrates local Christian churches and Christianity. It denigrates from a point of view of communism, which is antithetical to this great nation. All right, next, what can you do? I don't know, at the city council level. You could do the same thing. Show up to the city council meetings. Let them know what you want their priorities to be. I mean, we have a couple of people who tried to claim that they were conservatives when, in fact, they had actually helped the Indivisible Valley Progressive start, which is a, you guessed it, communist organization. It is a Marxist organization. So we can go down and take back government as we the people. That's one thing that we absolutely can do. Now, a lot of folks say, well, is it really that? Look, it. I was warning 10 years ago about the things that are happening literally right now. Now, I'm not saying I told you so, but I'm saying like good organizations like the John Birch Society through the New American Magazine, Alex Newman, a lot of people in this area, Jim Robinson, for decades have been warning about where we're at right now and literally the things that they would do and say right now. 10 years ago, people thought it was fantastical that they might try to seize our guns, and yet here we are in Washington State. People thought it was fantastical that they might teach the massive pornographic perversion in our schools, and yet here we are. People thought that it was impossible that we could see an actual Marxist running the country, and yet that's exactly what happened under Barack Obama. And so right now, we can either accept demoralization or we can become the catalyzing moralization force, giving hope, moving in action. And as I preached on Sunday, I said, we are all CIA. We are all Christians in action, or at least we should be. And it's not just enough to pray and read the word. But actually, God is demanding a demonstration of power through his church in this time to give hope to a lost and dying world. And of course, it's him doing it through each one of us. But we have to make that decision. Here we are. Send us. Here am I. Send me. So that's what you can do at the local level. But there's more. You can be prepared in your church to help people in a time of crisis. You can be prepared in your church. Start a preparedness group in your church. After you start the school in your church, start a preparedness group in your church that can talk about things that used to be ubiquitous, like gardening, growing fruit trees, how to preserve and can things, how to make soap, how to butcher, things that used to be kind of regular and normal for most Americans. Start a preparedness group in your church. And I want to camp here for a second. I really believe this, that every church should have a school. Every church should be bringing parents together in a cooperative and training up children in the way they should go, discipling them along the whole route of school as well. As we do here at On Fire Ministries and Kingdom Christian Academy. Discipleship has to be a critical component of that. And then send them out on the mission field when they're older so they can see how the rest of the world actually operates and not be just limited in the vision of the United States of America and Western Europe. That we go outside of that and see the way the rest of the world is and appreciate our country, but also we get to minister to people there. They can actually minister to us too. There are so many stories of the floodgates breaking open right now, today. And while it is absolutely horrible, the catastrophe that has happened in Ukraine, there is something prophetic about dams breaking in the spiritual realms around the world right now and people awakening to the evil that is in the world, and that we can actually stop it. That we can stand up and we can actually stop it. So again, every church, I think, should have a school. Every church should have a preparedness group. Every church should also have a men's ministry that is actually encouraging men to be men again. That is ministering to fathers as we're coming into Father's Day. That we need dads. We need protectors. We need people who are courageous. We need people who are brave. And that's a good thing that what the left calls toxic masculinity. The whole reason behind that is to make the country effeminate so that they won't fight back. That's why they're doing it. So we have to be the other side of it, that real men, loving, strong, tough, righteous men who make time for their children, but also make time to fight back against the enemy that is coming against their family and the culture, is the norm in the Christian church, and should be the norm in the Christian church. I also want to just mention, too, that when you have these events coming up, come together with like-minded people and be encouraged. That's something you can do. Be encouraged by being around other people. Like at the Sean Foyt event coming up here on June 21st, 6 o'clock here at On Fire Ministries, 115 East Pacific, or on July 28th at the Capitol in Olympia. Join us. Get encouraged. And it's not just about having an event. It's about the unity that happens in the Holy Spirit. As the body of Christ comes together, there is power in the name of Jesus. And as Christians come together and get off this self-imposed couch where we just watch and wait until we get out of here, no, we are called to occupy till he comes, and that we make that a reality, that we show up on those front lines like that, that we don't say, I'm just going to put up with this evil. I think, again, most of you listening to Patriot Radio today are already there, but you're asking, how can I do this with so much in my busy schedule? I would ask you to take time in prayer tonight and ask God for his priorities for you and your family. Maybe I'm the one that's been called to start a school in our church. Maybe it's only going to be pre through four. And so we come together as a cooperative, not a school is a technical term, but the cooperative. And we educate our kids and train them up the way they should go. Maybe you're the one being called to start a preparedness group in your church and to identify food in the case of a crisis and how to store and preserve. Maybe you're the one that's called to run some action ministry in your church to show up at the school boards and make sure that the truth is represented in these places. The truth is spoken to power and done so in a respectful way, but also in a way that cannot be mistaken as compromised. Maybe you're called to run for office. Maybe you're called just to minister to your neighbor. Build that relationship and that network. Maybe that's what you're called to do. But I want to end today, if we have one more clip left that we could play. I want to end today with kind of this final clip from Yuri Bezmenov. Go ahead.
Most of the American politicians, media, and educational system trains another generation of people who think they are living at a peacetime. False. The United States is in a state of war, undeclared total war, against the basic principles and the foundations of this system. And the initiator of this war is not Comrade Andropov, of course. However ridiculous it may sound, the world communist system or the world communist conspiracy, whether I scare some people or not, I don't give a hoot.
Notice he uses the term conspiracy. Here is the thing that I want to leave you with today, that we are already at war with Russia. We're already at war with China, and we have been for years. Prior to any of this stuff happening, we are in a spiritual war, though. More importantly, even than that, against the satanic forces and the satanic conspiracy that seeks to try to drag souls into hell. So we're at war, and we need to start acting like we're at war. That we are not just in a spiritual war, but we are also in a war here for the heart and soul of America, for our posterity, the next generation. That we're at war for the values and ideals that made this country great, the ideals of the free market, constitutional republic, and that we all have certain unalienable rights, such as life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. And that those things are worth fighting for. So when you ask yourself the question, where am I going to find time in my busy schedule? Maybe the question should be, how can I not find time in my busy schedule? Because it's so important to fight this fight right now. And for many of you listening to Patriot Radio today, I think it's really important to also realize that God put you here and decided that before the beginning of time, that you would be here in this moment right now. And ask him, why did you put me here in this moment? What do you have for me to do in this moment to glorify you? Instead of thinking maybe that God has something somewhere down the road for me, some place to serve, and I'm waiting for that to be revealed, start serving now and watch the doors that open because you have been faithful in a little, and he will make more doors open as you become faithful in much. So the one thing that you can do right now, probably above all others, besides reading the word and prayer, start serving now and watch the doors open and watch this country, watch your family, watch this community be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me today on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you, and he is making this generation the greatest one. The awakening is here. Keep up the fight.